this is Jeff Seymour, and welcome to the podcast. Today, I will once again make my case as to why the real-life actor approach is such a glorious way to work. I'll explain. My life work mission is to change the way acting is taught in the world. I've said this before, but it bears repeating, because it's a big-ass claim. I feel I can make that kind of a comment, have that kind of a goal, because in my 39 years in the business, 38 years teaching, my observation has been that all acting is based in a process, most of it very antiquated. They can say they aren't this particular approach or that particular method, but there is some sort of process, acting process, whether it's all those things I talk about, the nonsense of breaking into beats and action verbs and inner monologues, this kind of thing that makes us all doctors of acting. You see, they all fall into one category to me because I can simply say of this group, there is a process and it is an acting process. Well, you see, my fundamental problem, and it is the cornerstone of my argument, is to use any kind of acting process is to start off on a false foot. I mean, let me ask you, when you're doing your work and you're acting, don't a lot of you kind of feel a little too aware of yourself? Aren't a lot of you frustrated with ideas that you wanted to incorporate in the scene and then you didn't? Or that idea didn't quite work, so it distracted you, so then, you forgot about the next idea? Don't many of you suffer from that feeling of being kind of aware and your face is a little tight and, your arm's a little weird right there and let me just drop it. Okay, I'll put it on the table. Or I'm just standing here in the middle of the room and my arms, what on earth do I do with these suckers now? And so you kind of have them out in front of you a little bit as you're trying to look normal and like just leave them there. You don't want to shove them in your pockets, but when we play the tape back, you look like a mannequin a little bit. What happened? You see, what's always fascinated me is that as often as we fall prey to these little weird, uncomfortable, self-conscious moments, I think to myself, in similar moments in life, how is it we're never aware of these things? Or certainly way less. You see, that's why I called it the Real Life Actors, because I just decided to use real life as the playbook, the instruction manual, the Bible, and start there. And so I would, for instance, in that particular equation, I would think, how is it when I'm standing in the middle of a room and I'm acting and I'm not a hack and I'm on a set or I'm on stage that, I can be a little more aware of my arms and my hands and what they're doing or my body position. And then I roll back life and I think, okay, now in life, similar circumstance, how is it I'm not as often perplexed or made uncomfortable by my appendages? And being as honest and simple as I can in answering it, I say, well, I guess I'm more involved in what I'm doing. I guess I'm putting my mind where, I'm talking to the person or I don't know. I'm just not thinking about it. I guess I'm so involved in what I'm doing that, that part of the afternoon goes by and I think, I really thought about my hands. We're very good in life. Some of us better than others, of course, but mostly in life. Oh, come on. We know how to deal with stuff. We don't have to huff and puff and try and focus and first sit down and do a relaxation exercise and then, think of three important things and then turn around twice. We just, in life, we flip from this to that, to this to that, and then suddenly a tragedy, and then we're reacting here, and then the old boyfriend or girlfriend walks up and we react there, and then you know, a car hits my car and I have to get out and now I have that. And, you know, we just go through life. It's effortless. We know how to deal with every single situation. And we don't seem to get as lost or as self-conscious or, you know, distracted, or we certainly never have to take things back. I've noticed that in life, you know, rare. I don't think I've ever heard anyone say, hey, you know what? I wasn't focused. Let's run it back to where you just walked into the garage and you brought me the beer and we'll just go back there. No, it never happens. So you see, in trying to streamline a new approach, I thought, well, you know, why are we talking about acting at all? Can't I present the same ideas, conflicts, directions, emotional moments? Can I speak to you, the actor, about them? And can I not just speak to you as a person and like this actually happened and we're discussing it like we do in life? Can't we just try and come up with a way where we discuss, use, think about acting as little as possible? I say that because, of course, we don't want to be caught acting. So how about if we don't even bring it into our dialogue? How about if we don't use any terminology? How about if we just don't do any of that? You see, this is what confounds me. How does that not make sense? Yeah, that's what I don't get. I mean, you've used a process that has just had you only think about acting and acting, you know. I know, I've said it. I get it. It's just in your bones, and then you get up and you do it, and you're just so damn good at it that we can't tell that you're a phony. Yeah, I know that theory. I'm very well aware of that theory. All I'm saying is, why even put yourself in a position where you hope that no one will notice? It just feels phony. It just feels like a really fake way to look at stuff. No, I think the real clever people kind of just get wind of what's going on in a scene, and they understand who the players are and what's happening, and, you know, their point of view and what purpose they're supposed to serve. And then they just tally-ho, man. We just know that we're professional actors, musicians, if you will, and I know how this goes. I know what to do. I'll come up with stuff. How can I possibly believe that? Well, because I do in my everyday life all the time. And most actors I meet are fairly clever people, man. I've said it again and again. That's always what I play off of. You know, I talk to someone for a while. I was just doing this. I was just Skyping with someone in the UK. I speak to that person for a while and pick up who they are, ask them some questions, how they get started. I try and see them very candidly, what they're doing, how they are, when they do what they do. And then I know what I'm dealing with, you see, and then I know what to speak to. And for instance, when I asked this particular person about her background, she said she was doing some heavy-duty repeat exercise work. And of course, immediately, I just said, why? Why are you doing that? And her quick comeback answer was that it gets her to be more truthful. She's more truthful. I totally get it, man. I know that that is the trick, right? I know that's how they get you. Because the idea of that is, you know, you don't like my jacket, I don't like your jacket, you don't like my jacket, you know, this repeat thing. Then it's like, man, I'm just going right off the impulse. I'm getting my instrument so tuned in, so dialed in that, man, I am sitting here practicing, perhaps for hours, this idea of kind of spontaneously reacting to you. Then I, bango, I react. I get it. I can see where on paper that makes a lot of sense, you see. But my first question to her was, are you not truthful in life? You know how to be truthful in life? You're a big old liar. You have a real problem being truthful. Are you ever truthful? Well, of course, this caught her off guard because, you know, this is the problem. Actors don't make these comparisons. they act as though their acting mechanism is something they have to go in and sharpen up, you see, and calibrate and calculate and get in there and, you know, get it working. La 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 la. And, you know, and 1, 2, 1, 2, 1, 2. And do all this stuff, you see, and then now go and relax. You know, and then focus and then sit. And then, and I think, how do you get on in life, man? So if you tell me something like, well, it helps me to be more honest. My first question is, are you not honest in life? And if you say to me, well, yeah, but not all the time. Okay, when time? Well, when I'm with my friends, people I trust, you know. Okay, great. But then at other times, you're more reticent about it. You hold back. You perhaps fib a little. You don't display all the cards. Yes. Okay, then what are we talking about? When you're supposed to be open and honest and truthful, you do it. And when you don't feel like doing it, you don't. So what? What are we talking about here, man? Because you know what happens? When it's appropriate for you to do that, you will, because obviously you can. So it's a choice. You've made it in life. You know how to do it. Well, there it is. It's in your repertoire. It's in your drawer. You can pull it out. It's right there with the spoons and the knives. Right there it is. You can pull it out anytime you want it. Why? Because you do it. But you feel you got to go practice it. This is the stuff that stuns me. I asked another person, same question, about the same exercise, and I was met with, well, you know, a friend of mine does it, and she has a problem, like, you know, just kind of opening up in front of people, you know, and just, you know, being present and being herself. Ah, okay. And so how does the repeat exercise do that? What are you saying? I'm going to go into a room and I'm going to say back and forth, you know, I like your tie, you like my tie, I like your tie, you like my tie, I like your tie, I like my tie. And then when I go to a party, I'm going to have game. Suddenly I'm just like, I don't know what. I'm just like some slick guy because I've repeated shit in a room for hours on end. How does that make me better? How does that make me more open at the party? And again, I would ask you, are you never open? Okay, now let me take it a step further and tell you so why I have a big problem. Not just because it's a different school of thought. No, it's because I've been in the business as long as I say I have. I've been teaching. And what I notice is that when you draw attention to something and tell an actor, oh, look, you can't act until you get this exercise down, you are undermining their confidence. You are telling them that they can't do what, you know, let's face it, they all do in real life. Now, if you tell me, well, listen, I've never robbed a bank. I've never, you know, oh, well, come on, man. And so don't even start. So then what, the repeat exercise gets you to do that better? No, but you've been scared. You lied once. You yelled. You came up with some crazy plan. You did something that was half-baked and stupid. You were desperate. You were seconds away from, you know, picking up that thing that didn't belong to you and shoving it in your pocket because you know what it's like to be poor. You know, you thought about things like this. You fantasized about things like this. You've stood in line and thought, God, I just wish I could have all the money in these drawers. Well, what are we talking about here? You can't figure stuff out. You can't make emotional attachments to things just like you do every single day. It's not about me poo-pooing all of this process that people do. It is me telling you that it weakens your stance. You know what I think's more fun as an actor is not having to think about a bunch of little things that I'm beholden to where I got to, you know, do this at that moment and that at this moment. And then, you know, I got this thing I got to think about and that. Oh, man, that just feels so cumbersome. That just feels so wet blankety, bring me down. I got homework to do. I got to do homework. While I'm acting, I have to do a bunch of homework. Oh, I hate it. You know what I hear from most actors when I'm working with them and, you know, we're using the approach is this freedom, is the weight off their back, is the fact it's more fun. They leave the class, you know, excited. The great moments they're having are way easier than they ever imagined. You know, it feels kind of like they always thought it was supposed to. So, you know, when I hear this kind of thing all the time, it only strengthens my idea that most people feel encumbered. And then now here's how we get around it. You feel totally encumbered, right? and it's bothering you and you just don't feel like you understand it and it just feels cumbersome. Well, what I lord above your head is that, hey, you know what? This guy did it. That girl did it. That's how that person became a movie star. This is what people need to do. Hey, you know what? You got to do the work. And I just lord all of these challenges and, you know, how bad you want it above your head. I might even have a picture or two of me with that person who supposedly does this bullshit, standing side by side, smiling with his signature on it. I mean, so you imagine, oh, God, I got to do it. Well, listen, I am here to tell you, you don't. We have to get to a point where we can understand the few important things about any scene and then pursue those things with reckless abandon. That's it. That's it. That's all. That's it. And then know that you are clever enough that while we're doing it, you'll be paying attention and you'll know exactly what to do as you do every day in life. And listen, the bottom line is doing it this way, the chances of you landing on your feet and doing it properly and really getting away with it, I think are far greater than a lot of bullshit acting calculus you worked out. I'm going to keep talking about this stuff till I get you guys off the teat of this nonsense. It's just nonsense. And if you're sitting there thinking, no, it isn't, it's really cool, I'm going to keep coming back to it. I don't mean to be, you know, mean about this, but you've been working a lot. How's that working out for you? Because this stuff, man, it doesn't allow for the snap, crackle, pop that you need to really be a clever, worthwhile actor. Wouldn't you rather have room to move? What is your fantasy of acting at the end when you're like a master? Don't you imagine that you would get to a point where you could look at a script, you would have really clear understanding, the lines would be memorized much more quickly, you just get it, and then you would just get up and you would lay it down, man. You'd say, go ahead, turn on the device, let's film it, I'm ready. And you would throw down and it would be, man, just great right out of the box with like no muss, no fuss. I mean, isn't that a fantasy? Wouldn't that be a fantasy? I mean, you don't like that idea? You'd rather do all the calculus and homework and sit around and, you know, me, trying to figure out, you know, how it all goes. How's the best way to say it? Hey, Dickie, I didn't think you were going to be here, Dickie. Hey, Dickie. I didn't think you were going to be here. No, that's too laughy. I mean, doesn't that seem dopey? And then when you want to like write down an action verb, you're going to try it out now. You got one for that line, so you're going to try it out now. Okay, well, make sure you do because you got it on your mind. So think about it. I mean, it's cool. Whatever we're talking about isn't as important as your little action verb. So make sure you incorporate your action verb while you're talking to me. Right? Focus on your action verb instead of this conversation that we're having. That makes sense. Please, if that's what you do in real life, don't be one of my friends because I'll find that insulting. Really? We're having a discussion about something important and you're like busting little action verb moves while we're speaking so that you can manipulate the conversation and beat me somehow? Really? And you decide to sit down on that beat? Because, you know, wow, now you're really going to let me know what's what. And you have to be a puppeteer about this, right? You can't just do this on the fly. You can't just be clever on the fly. Really? You just can't be interesting without working it out on paper and a little slide rule and get your calculator out and crunch some numbers and then figure out how to be clever. You're just a dimwit in life. Just, you know, the bore of the party. You're just sad, staring at the ground, can never say anything in life. Is that how it is? So that when you act, well, what really happens is you just have the time to calculate and, you know, rearrange and think and substitute and work out and, you know, come with that inner monologue that's going to be the thing that's going to send that tsunami of whateverness over my head. Really? Once again, I'd say, look, if you're such a dull and boring person in life, why don't you just do that shit in life, man? Cut everyone a break so they don't have to put up with your tired, sad-ass world in life. Why not just add the snap, crackle, pop, man? Figure shit out before you get up in the morning. Wouldn't take too much time. You know, you're going to Starbucks. Okay, let's see. You know what? I'm going to do a little kind of thing to be happy, to be jaunty, to be, and I'll work that out. Then I'll go, I'll get that done. And then I'm going to be seeing Sally. I'm a little upset with Sally. So I think even though I really like her, I'm going to play a little opposite with Sally because I want her to know I haven't been, enjoying our relationship lately. I think she's let me down. So I'm going to play like I'm not digging her. Okay, so, okay, let me, okay, I got the thing with the jaunty, and then I got, I better write this down. And then I'll just go through my life like that. You know, I'm going to keep going back and forth just to show you the idiocy of this. And I'm hoping I'm finally getting to somebody. I know I am because I get beautiful notes. They're so nice to get. Telling me how it's lifted a cloud, you feel more inspired, acting is easier. You see, and I let's not get confused, or as the kids say, get it twisted, because I'm not telling you that, you know, acting is some easy, happy-go-lucky, you know, just kind of show up and say the lines. No, absolutely not. All I'm telling you is quit wasting your time with a bunch of bullshit calculations that no human being does in life when getting ready for a similar scene. That's all I'm saying. But prepare, know what you're doing, you know, understand what you're talking about, you know, all that other stuff that people do. Oh, yeah, yeah, definitely. Just know everything that the person would know. That's all. And then care about the thing that the person would care about. That's all. And then go in there and, you know, make your points and try and win or, you know, get your point across or whatever it is. But do it with the same commitment and responsibility that you would in life, you see. Don't undermine it by being some acting clown at the same time. That's all. That's all. That's all I'm saying. Just stop with the acting clown bullshit. Little puppeteering where you're trying to make it all look like this and then I'll do that. That's just amateur stuff, man. You don't get how that's amateur. You don't see that? You don't think the great actors kind of know, okay, where do you need me? What's going on? What am I doing? And I'm just going to kind of, it'll come out fine. Don't worry. I don't need to worry about how, you know, I'm going to say that word. Because I'm really good at saying words in life. I don't mean to sound like the president there, but yeah, I'm really good with words in life. I know how to use them. I know how to punctuate. It was like I was noticing a Skype thing I was doing where a person was doing a monologue and just staring, you know, just staring as we do in these monologues. We don't have anyone there, so we stare at a wall and we say all of our stuff to that. You know, this comes up in class a lot because I say, you know, I pay attention, and I'm paying attention when I'm talking. I rarely stare in their eyes the entire time I speak. This is what actors do all the time. Why? Because it's not about human behavior. It's about acting. It's about I talk now, now you listen, and then you speak, and I'm getting it. I am a receptacle of receptiveness. Talk, now I ingest. Okay, and now I speak back, you know. What are we, androids? We were invented yesterday, and we just got our voice boxes, put in this morning. I mean, what is this? Because if you think about it, you go ahead. Next time you're telling a story to someone, just lock on their eyes the entire time. See how that feels. And if you'd really like to take a lesson you could walk away with, hey, and when you can become conscious of it, pay attention to how and when you look into people's eyes. Generally, it's to punctuate. It's to punctuate. We want to punctuate things. Sometimes it's all cap letters. So there is a time when we stare at people. It's generally when we're taking them to school on something. We're punctuating. But otherwise, it's not like we're, you know, scaredy cats. It's that it's uncomfortable to just stare into someone's eyes the whole time. What, are you going to kiss me? Or tell me a story. I mean, you know? But somehow, because when we act, because it's cahoots and we're in cahoots, You know, I'm just looking at you, and I'm not taking responsibility for a real human being in front of me, because if you were, and this were like real life, I wouldn't be staring deep into your eyes right now, unless I was going to kiss you or I was taking you to school on something. But it's not always. And it isn't the result of excellent communication. It always looks like bullshit to me because, you know, I'm not afraid of people and I hate staring in people's faces when I've got to tell them some stuff that's important. But generally not as afraid when I need to punctuate a moment. Now, you see all these things I'm talking about here? They're all in the book of life. And that's really what I love about the approach, is that there's actually kind of an almost rule book. At least a book to where we can go to kind of a consistent philosophy or a consistent idea. We can go back and say, how does this happen in life? How do these things go down and why? And continually reverse engineer moments for ourselves. That's all I ever do when I'm teaching and I am directing. I have a beautiful class, by the way, on Monday nights here in Los Angeles. And I highly recommend you just come by and watch, because the actors are really lovely and it's a really great laboratory. It really feels like that to me. I'm just so excited to be able to be there and deal with these actors. It's so much fun because, first of all, the scenes are always entertaining. I mean, they're very easy to watch. But these people are just so adept. But we had two things. One, there were two gentlemen doing the brother scene from Warrior. That was with Tom Hardy and Joel Egerton, I think. And it's a scene where, you know, the brothers are seeing each other for the first time in a long time. The Tom Hardy character, you know, he really doesn't want to give up anything, wants to act like he doesn't even know basically who his brother is. He doesn't care that his brother has a family. He obviously is hurt. He obviously feels that he was deserted by his older brother when he went off with his dad and left him with his mom. And he feels bad about it, to the point that here this grown man is, not interested in talking to his brother. I look at this stuff like it's real life all the time. I say, how does this stuff go down? You know, people are interesting. They have a way of if they want to, you see, just act as though, I don't give a shit about you, man. I don't care about you, you know. You did what you did, man, okay? So let's just put it, let's just move on. And in a way, I'm kind of beyond it. I don't care. The actor will tend to want to play way too much. They'll want to show us way too many colors, way too much undercurrent. And I always look at it like, is that how we do it in life? Really? Because, you know, I can see that undercurrent across the street. You know, when we meet people, even if we're really, 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 really angry with them, and we don't want them to know we're angry with them, we know how to turn that stuff right off. We know how to manage that stuff, you see? And we're not necessarily, and if we want to be like joyful with them, we can do that too. We're very, very nimble with our stuff. There is some conflict, but most of us that practice, when push comes to shove and it's going to behoove us for it to be this way or that way, we know how to put it right on the line. We know how to get that stuff right. Think about it, everyone. You've done it. You do it. Don't kid yourself. It's the actor, the process actor, the process method actor who then decides, no, I've got to have the undercurrent. Well, if I got to have the undercurrent, then you got to see the undercurrent. And it's just bullshit. You know what I said to the guy that was playing the part? I said, do you want him to see any of this stuff? What do you want him to get? You know, he's very clear. He's very smart. So I said, okay, then sit down. When he comes up, don't even get up. And it just changed his whole attitude. But then he did this really cool thing. Right toward the end of the scene, I can't remember the exact line, but he just blew up for a split second. He just stood up. It wasn't bullshit. It was really good. It was like I've seen in life where just for a second, people pop. They just suddenly raise their voice. And then it was gone. And he said, are we done here? And then he left. And I thought, now you see, there you go. How interesting, how intriguing for the audience, and how real that is, because that's how it is, right? best laid plans of mice and men. I'm not going to get upset. I don't give a shit, man. You don't have that on me. It is what it is. And then all of a sudden, the performer pops at just one moment. You think, wow, that was just right. And it was real. Okay, so it's not just a guy raising his voice and yelling. This guy knows how to connect. You can feel it coming from his gut. It's just explosive. Now you might say, well, yes, you can. You've done it. You've done it. You've all done that. Come on, most of you have. You've been listening to someone, and then, you know, you're sitting there, and you take it, and then all of a sudden, it's like, man, you just flip a switch, and you blow, and then it can be over as quickly. Now, what was beautiful about that is then when we get really nicely, without having it shoved down our throats the entire time, what was going on? There was this, then when that happened, you realize, wow, man, this guy, you know, he knows, he puts a lid on it, but look how much that meant to him, obviously. Look how deep the hurt is for him to blow up like that. And I thought, you know, that's really good storytelling. There was another beautiful scene the same night from the two-hander Broadway play called Red. And the one actor... character talking about when he discovered his parents had been murdered. And he'd done it the week before when they first, were just getting off book with it. And it was be the first time the two, you know, did the scene together because, as you may have heard me mention many times, the actors do not work together outside of the class. It's the dumbest thing in the world. You don't do it in real life. Don't do it in class. Show me what you got when you walk in and you bring it, just like you're going to when you go to an audition or you're on set. That's what I'm there for, is to look at that, and that's what you should be working on. Nothing else, not play acting at your friend's house and then bringing it in with props. But fine actor. Did a great job first time out of the blocks last week. It was really nice. And now, because he always does things slightly differently, which is what I encourage in my class, don't worry about doing it the exact same way. If it happens that way, fine, but don't think like that's the way. You know, start it off a little differently. Come on, let's practice, man. Let's figure stuff out. Let's not just do the same dumb thing over and over and over and over again. When he started to talk about the tragedy, the moments, you know, everything just kind of stretched out a little bit. And it kind of lengthened, and we had to wait. Now, I promise you, if this was a class where what I was looking for was, you know, overdone acting, drawn out moments, heavy on the underneath, and all this other crap, I probably would have been applauding it. But, you know, I don't do that, you see, because I hate acting. So here's how it works for me. I either believe you or I don't. I either feel like I'm being played right now or I'm not. That's it. That's all there is, because I don't care about acting. Acting is dumb. And if you think you're lying to me or playing me, or you're acting like, you know, oh, I'm upset about this, so I'm going to pause. And you know how I know? You know I have such a keen eye. Is because, I've been practicing my entire life, in as much as I pay rapt attention when people are telling me things, and I sort out and have learned from all of my experiences when someone is full of it and when they're not. That's it. That's all. So when he was finished with that particular spot, I stopped it right there. I said, I am so glad you did that, because now I want to present an example for you, for everyone, of the difference, and basically said kind of what I just said here. And now to fix that, you see, what I would say to him would be that I know him as a person, and I say, you would never tell a story like that. You wouldn't. It's way too indulgent, man. You wouldn't even think to milk a story of this tragedy the way you just did, man. That's not who you are. Yes, we could cut you the slack. Your parents were murdered. You were 7 or 10, whatever. Yes, I get it. But all I keep doing is saying, turn to the book of life. Have you listened to people tell their stories? Right? And do sometimes people just cry and fall apart? Yeah, sure. And what do? You look away. You know, just, I get it. It's like one big bad note. this is horrible. I get it. I'm sorry, man. I'm sorry. But to be entertained, intrigued, drawn in, oh, man, you know, in real life, we know just how to slice it. You see, we know how to do it. Are we playing the audience? No, no, no. The facts are playing the audience. In real life, the facts play the audience. The actual thing plays the audience. What does that mean? Well, if I just authentically and honestly told you what happened to me and it was that story, how does that not carry the day? How does that not punch you right between the eyes? If I authentically told you what happened, I just simply told you what happened without trying to take up too much of your time or belabor it, because I understand, you see, intellectually, that this is a huge story of woe. Why would I need to belabor it? I wouldn't. It's the actor, you see. It's the actor that thinks these things. And this goes back to my primary problem with acting. The way acting is done is that there's so much focus put on it. It's kind of impossible not to be seen doing it. As I keep saying, your best hope is that you'll do it and no one will know you're full of shit. I tell you what I'd rather have. I'd rather have an actor that I could tell the story to of what happened to this poor boy. And they would accept it like it was a real story. Because if you heard a story like that, it would hit you in the gut. You'd imagine being 7, seeing your sister looking into a room, standing in a puddle of her own piss. You would see all this blood, your parents dead. You would tell me that story, and it would gut me, and I would get it. Where does all this phony acting bullshit come into play? You couldn't do that well? You couldn't authentically retell that story without, like, making graphs and stuff and figuring out exactly where you're going to pause and touch the tabletop with your index finger? And then look down and see there's no dust. Clean table. And then back to my story, because I'm just so magnificent with my bullshit. Is that how we do it? Come on, man. We have to get out of acting processes. We have to get out of dumb acting exercises and acting. On its face, by its mere definition, it is the thing we want to avoid. Stop talking about it. And when I say that, I don't mean stop talking about human behavior or life or what's going on in a scene like we would discourse on any real-life situation that we would suddenly find ourselves in. No, let's do that for sure, as much as you want. But let's not do all of this planning, scheming, malarkey, bullshit, lines, deciding that no responsible human being would ever do. Let's avoid that. Doesn't that make sense? Come on. Come on. It makes sense. It just seems too crazy to some of you. It just seems too blasphemous. It just seems too easy. It just seems so naked and no, but what'll I do now? You want to be an artist who can throw down? You want to be some solid actor, artist person who knows how to look at material and then throw down? You got to stop with all of this, you know, nonsense. You got to stop with that stuff, man. Thanks for listening. You have been listening to a Real Life Actor Podcast. This is Jeff Seymour. Real Life Actor Podcasts can now be found on Spotify, iTunes, and Podomatic. Please tell your friends. And if you're in the Los Angeles area and you'd like to audit one of my classes, send me an email at jeff@reallifeactor.com. Thanks for listening.